Go ahead and open your Bibles this morning with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Pastor just mentioned to me one of the things we talked about last night that we've struggled there in Romania is with the adults, with parents. We've got a lot of young people, we've got a lot of teenagers, but we struggled reaching their parents, getting them to come in. Part of it is the language barrier, because everything we do is in Romanian, and several of them speak Hungarian. 75% of our city actually speaks Hungarian, is ethnically Hungarian. So we struggled to reach some of the parents, but we're trying to create a place where they feel comfortable coming in. It's funny because we'll see them out on the streets and they'll say, "Oh, we feel so good when we come to visit you," but then they only come to visit once or twice a year. And so we'd like to get the parents and families involved more in what we're doing. So pray for us in that outreach as we strive to reach the families and the people there in Romania. Matthew chapter 5 this morning, starting in verse number 14. Bible says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I've been told I preach too long sometimes, so I brought my timer this morning. I'll try and be finished before that runs out. I love fire. I love watching fire. I love making fire. One of the first things we did when we bought the church property, I went out in the backyard. There's a huge backyard, and I started gathering rocks. I found several big rocks, and I put those rocks together, and I built myself a great big old fire pit. And we had all sorts of outbuildings, some chicken coops, rabbit hutches that we had to tear down. And so I tore those down, and Lily helped, and her brothers helped, and we had several people that helped from the church. But we got those down, and we put them in that fire pit and burned everything up. We had several big bonfires that first year when we got in there. And then when we tore down the building, we took all sorts of wood out of that and burned all of that. And I just love making fires. I was sitting there watching the fire one evening. I had my chair sitting there watching the fire and just watching the sparks fly up into the sky. And I was thinking about what the Bible says about fire. I was thinking about these verses, actually. The thought occurred to me, maybe it's just because I'm strange, maybe because I'm weird, my brain works in strange ways, but I thought to myself, I wonder if a candle wants to burn. I know a candle's not an animate object. It doesn't have feelings. It doesn't have thoughts or emotion. But I thought to myself, I wonder if a candle wants to burn. I thought, probably not. Because when a candle burns, when that flame touches the candle and it starts to eat away at the wick, it hurts. I imagine if you hold your hand over that flame, you hold it there for just a little bit, it starts to burn your hand. Because fire hurts. It burns, and there's a pain that's involved in that. And so I thought to myself, that's a lot like Christianity. Because the secret of being a Christian, the secret that we don't tell people about being a Christian is that there's pain involved. There's hurt. And there's suffering that comes with being a Christian. Following Jesus, the Bible never promises will be easy. The Bible never tells us that everything's going to be okay. You're not going to have any hardship. In fact, the Bible tells us that difficulties will come. The Bible tells us that there's going to be things that you're going to struggle with. There's going to be pain. There's going to be loss. But part of being a Christian is understanding that we need to go through those things, and that's part of what God wants for us. God wants us to burn. Pastor, I taught this last year back in Romania, I taught a series to our church on patience. Now, I like patience in other people, but for myself, not so much. I want right now. Maybe you're like me and you understand what I'm talking about. You want it right now and you want it just how you want it. But patience isn't easy. I figured it though, if I'm going to teach on patience, I ought to at least try to practice it myself. Wow. I taught this series on patience, and it was probably a 4 or 5 week series that I was preaching, and we doing this Bible study in depth, talking about what the Bible talks about as patience. And I think a lot of times when as Christians we think of patience, we think of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And we've got this idea of patience as long-suffering. And there's people that I know that have this kind of patience perfected. Oh, I'm just suffering for Jesus. Oh, my life is so hard. Oh, praise Jesus, I'm suffering. And there's this lady back home. Every time I see her, she's got a smile on her face. But as soon as she catches my eye, she can be talking to her friends, just laughing, having a blast. But as soon as I catch her eye, as soon as she sees me coming, oh, brother. Oh, my husband's in the hospital. I don't have food to give my kids. Everything's just as bad as it possibly could be. Some people have this kind of patience perfected. But as we studied God's Word, I came to understand patience isn't the suffering. Patience is what gets me through the suffering. Patience is what God wants to use to get me through whatever difficulty, hardship I'm facing. He wants me to go through it to make me who He wants me to be. And God worked this in my heart, Pastor. God worked this in my heart to the point where I came to believe that God wanted us to pray for more hardship, so that He could work more in our life. See, James chapter 1, James chapter 1 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. See, God worked this in my heart. I said, I want you, God, to work in my life to make me perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I want to be who you want me to be, God. And if it means I have to have more hardship, okay, I want it. And God worked that in my heart. So I preached it. Now, I came to understand there's a difference between God working in my heart something and me preaching something. Because I got up Sunday morning, I preached this idea, and I said it at the end of my message, I said, now who here with me this morning will pray to God and ask God for more problems? I never heard it more quiet. All those kids, not a peep. I never seen hands disappear faster than if I was asking for money. I mean, man, nobody. Nobody was with me. But it was too late because I'd already asked God for that. I said, God, give me more problems. Give us more difficulty so that we can grow our faith, so we can have this patience work in us to make us who you want us to be. So we went home. Sunday afternoon we got home, and Lily and I are sitting in the living room relaxing. The kids are in the other room watching a movie. They got some popcorn, and Joshua comes wandering in, and he says, Mommy, Daddy, look what I did. He shoved, I don't know how many popcorn kernels in his ears and up his nose, every orifice in his face he had filled with popcorn kernels. Oh my. We got to go to the emergency room. He got to find out that they can pull those out and blood comes out when you pull popcorn kernels out of your nose. It wasn't fun. That week, we got so sick. I don't know if you've ever heard of the norovirus. Now, it's not the kind of runny nose and fever cough that we've got now, that it just kind of because we're changing temperatures. The norovirus, that's the kind of sick that you have to go to the bathroom and you have to go right now. And then when you're done, you got to go back. And our whole family, just one after another. And I mean, we were just miserable. I mean, I understand when Job said, God, if this is it, just take me. I understand that kind of prayer because, I mean, we were feeling horrible. But you know what? I got to punch a new hole in my belt. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who get sick and have to empty their... Yeah. August 31st this year, we've been in the apartment there in St. George for almost 9 years, about 9 years we were there. And on August 31st, our landlord came and told us, I'm going to sell the apartment. September 1st, he did. What do you do? Where do you go? How are you going to move all your stuff? I don't know what difficulty it is you're going through. I don't know what struggle, what obstacle, what sickness, what problem it is that you're facing. But God has allowed it to come into your life so that He can burn away that which you don't need. See, it's during the storm that God does His best work. During the storm when Jesus came walking to Peter on the water, it was during the storm that God called out to Job. It's during the storm that God's power is seen. And it's during the trials and storms in our life that God wants to work in our lives. See, He wants to burn away that which is unnecessary. He wants to take away that which we don't need so that we can be who He wants us to be. Jesus said that with a faith the size of a mustard seed, He can move mountains. But it's not mountains that God wants to move. He wants to change lives. He wants to heal families. He wants to mend broken hearts. He wants to save the world. And to do so, He wants to use you and He wants to use me. And in order for us to be the instruments that He can use, sometimes it requires pain. Sometimes it requires loss to make us who He wants us to be. But see, this candle is more than just a fire that burns. If we shut off all the lights in here, if it was dark, if it was night outside, this light would be enough that we could see around in this area. We could see what was going on because this candle gives off a light. See, Jesus came into this world as a light. John chapter 1 says Jesus came into this dark world. He was... Let's go ahead and turn there so we can read this together because this is important. John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse number 3 says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Well, what that means, Jesus came into this world shining so bright, the world didn't know what to do with Him. He blinded them. He hurt their eyes. The Pharisees, they were so caught up in their religion, they couldn't see the light for what it was. They tried to kill Him. They tried to extinguish the light of Jesus Christ. They thought they had. They thought they'd put Him out, but they didn't. 3 days later, He rose again, and He told us. He told us to be that light. He said, ye are the light of the world. See, Jesus was the light. He came into this world shining so bright so that we could catch that light, so we would see what we're supposed to be. When we look at the life of Christ, when we read the New Testament, when we see what Jesus did, we ought to become inflamed with the passion that He had. We ought to burn like He did. He wants us to be that light set up on a hill so that the whole world can see. That's what He wants for you and for me. This dark world that we live in, I mean, we don't have to look very far. Homosexuality is an accepted way of life. Alcoholism is not a sin, it's a disease. It's okay to do whatever you think is okay. Don't allow anybody to tell you what is right or what's wrong for you. You decide that yourself. The world in which we live is a dark world filled with sin. The problem is not anything except that. It's sin. Sin is the problem this world is corrupted and filled with. But you and I, we're called to be the light shining to tell those people, all you have to do is turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus Christ and He can take away that sin. He can remove the penalty of that sin in your life. He can take away the effects of it. And He can give you so much more. He can show you a different way of life. A life filled with peace and holiness. See, He wants you and I to shine so bright. When Jesus left this world, He sent the Holy Spirit to His disciples, to those who followed Him. And when He sent the Holy Spirit, He sent the Holy Spirit in the form of a flame above their heads to remind them to be a light, to shine for Me. Because He wants us to be that light. So often, though, we say it's uncomfortable. I don't like to shine. I don't want to. I like Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Jeremiah was a prophet who he preached and he preached and he told the people that God wanted them to turn from their sins, and nobody listened. Nobody listened to him. I mean, he preached his entire life, his entire ministry. Nobody paid attention to him. They said, "Oh, that's just old Jeremiah." Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, he said, I tried to quit. I tried to stop it. I gave up. I said, I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm not going to tell them what God wants anymore. I'm done. But I couldn't. It was like a fire burning in my soul. In my bones, there was this passion. I had to do it. I had to tell people. That's the kind of fire we ought to have. I got to tell people. I can't go to work and not share. I can't go to school and not tell. I can't talk to my neighbor and know that he's going to die and go to hell without sharing the God. I've got to tell him. I've got to tell him. Do we have that kind of passion? Do we have that kind of flame? The prophet, or the apostle Paul, he said it this way in Acts chapter 26 when he was on trial for his faith. He said, I want to turn them from darkness into light. From the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins. See, that's what it's all about. I want to shine in this dark world so that people can understand their sins can be forgiven. I want to be that light, like Paul was. I want to be that light. What is it that's stopping us? God wants us to shine so bright. He wants us to burn so bright that others will see Jesus in us. Have you ever seen a fire? People stop to watch it burn. If you catch fire for Jesus, people stop to watch it burn. They want to know what's different in you. Why are you like you are? Why are you always happy? What's wrong with you? Why can you smile and give praise during these hardships that you're facing? Well, it's because of what God is doing in me. He wants us to shine. But see, the thing about this light and the fluorescent, all these lights that we've got here, and this is something I think we ought to understand. When you flip on a switch, these lights all come on, and then you flip them off and they're gone. But this little flame, if you give it a little fuel, it'll spread. It's contagious. You dump that fire over and it'll start to burn. It'll burn all that's around it. It'll consume. It becomes an all-encompassing. It encompasses all that's around it. It grows. God can do that with you. He can take your light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And it'll catch somewhere else. They'll catch somewhere else. And those fires begin to grow and they spread. That's what God has envisioned for us. He doesn't want us to be that little light all by myself. But He wants us to burn. And He can use that to catch other flames and to spread that fire, to spread that light. I believe God is calling men and women to serve Him. I believe God is still calling men and women to be lights for Him. The problem, though, that we're faced with is this idea of mortality. I only have one life. I want to live it for myself. See, most people, when faced with the reality of their own death, when they understand that I'm going to die someday, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next week, but eventually, I'm going to die, they do one of two things. They eat, drink, and be merry. Or they try to find some higher purpose. Some thing they can do to leave a legacy, to leave a lasting impression upon those who come behind. I'm here to tell you this morning, there is no greater calling, there is no greater thing to do with your life than to give it to Christ. So shine as a light for those in the dark world. To answer the call. Say, like Isaiah, here am I, Lord. Send me. I've gone. I've went. I've seen. I've done. I know what I'm talking about, folks. To live your life for Jesus Christ is a life you will not regret. To answer the call. To tell other people about Christ. You won't regret that. You can't regret leading somebody to Jesus Christ. It's the best thing you can do. To live your life for Christ is something you cannot regret. It is a life worth living. I love to read about people who have lived their lives for Christ. I love to read the biographies of great preachers and missionaries in particular. I'm kind of particular to missionaries. And one missionary, I read C.T. Studd. C.T. Studd, this is a guy who went to China to start a work. He went to China and he got a work going, preached the gospel, people got saved, and then he, after that work was there and there were others preaching there in China, he decided, well, I'm going to go somewhere else. So he went to India. He went to India and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ in India, and he started work after work there, and there were people preaching, so he said, okay, well, there's people preaching the gospel here, where else can I go? He went to the interior of Africa. Before there were countries, he went into the jungles of Africa and preached the gospel to the tribes there. This is a man who gave his life going where nobody had gone, telling people who had nobody had told about Jesus Christ. He said this, C.T. Studd, he said, only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. Only what I do for Him will matter in eternity. Jim Elliot, one of my own personal heroes, was a missionary to the Aka Indians of Ecuador. The Aka Indians were a cannibalistic, man-hunting tribe. They ate their enemies. Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, Roger Udiri, and a couple other guys, five young missionary families went down to Ecuador and tried to reach these people. The five young men went into the jungles and in their efforts to preach the gospel, they were all killed, martyred for Jesus Christ. They lost their lives. What impresses me though... Thank you, hon. What impresses me though, after their husbands were killed, their wives went back into the jungles and won many of the same men who had killed their husbands for Jesus Christ. Rachel Saint, if you've ever read one of her books, Through Gates of Splendor, she tells the story of how she went into the jungles and preached the gospel to the very men who killed her husband. Jim Elliot said this, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." There was another missionary. Greatest missionary of all. See, this missionary created human life. And then, when he saw that they'd fallen into sin, came to redeem, to buy His own creation back, to redeem us from our sin. Jesus came from heaven to earth. And in Mark chapter 8, verse number 35, He said, "For whoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for My sake and the Gospel's, the same shall save it." See, it's not what we do for ourselves that matters. It's what we do for eternity. It's what we do to win other people for Jesus Christ. Because see, this flame right here, one day, it'll burn out. as will our lives. We only have but a few short years to make a difference upon all of eternity. C.T. Studd, the same missionary who went to China, India, and Africa, I found another quote. I love this. I love what it says. Listen to it. He said, "Let us not glide through this world and then slip quietly into heaven without having blown the trumpet loud and long for our Redeemer, Jesus Christ." He said, "Let us see to it that the devil will hold a thanksgiving service in hell when he gets news of our departure from the field of battle." Wow! This little light of mine. Ye are that light. You are the light that Jesus has decided to leave here in Bowling Brook. You are the light God has called to tell those in your world about Jesus Christ. See, I answered the call long ago. And you know what? I'm not perfect. I don't tell everybody I should, but I sure try. I try my very best to make sure that I tell people about Jesus Christ, because I want to shine. Don't let some pain, don't let that the experience of burning stop you from service. Don't let the pain or the discomfort allow you to renounce Christ. Don't give up, because someday we're going to stand before Him and He's going to say, "Your light shone. Well done, my good and faithful servant." But someday our light's going to burn out. What will we have done for Christ? Because only what we do for Christ will matter. Pastor.